First, I'm going to read something from our dear friend Phyllis, who is a nurse. Phyllis was here with Jackie for 5 days last week. She lives in Sacramento and couldn't be here today. So this is Phyllis's message. Jackie was my sister by choice. I loved her and her family so much, John, Michael, and her parents. We met when we were 18 years of age, freshmen at the University of Washington at McKee Hall, and somehow we just clicked and were friends throughout our lives. We were so different, yet we were so much the same. Jackie was always there for me, and I was always there for her. I loved Michael, and then they had John, and I loved him as if he were my own son. They had only one child, but they sure got a wonderful child. I was there with them when he was born, when he had some health problems as a child, and when he was there to support his father and then his mother at a time when we all knew that they were getting ready to leave this earth. John never left his father's side and was there with his mother as she left this world. I was so privileged to be with Jackie for 5 days last week, allowing us time to share the wonderful experiences we had had together in life. The memories of those 5 days will remain with me for the remainder of my life. Jackie loved people, she loved children, and she was always there to try to make the world a better place. We shared political beliefs, and we both wanted things better for all people. She devoted much of her life to helping underprivileged children and families through her work with Neighborhood House. I miss Jackie, but she will always be with me in spirit. And now I'd like to read a few words myself. I met this cute, petite French girl named Jacqueline at McKee Hall the first week of school at the University of Washington in 1953. Of course, Jackie wasn't French, but a Seattle girl. I also met Phyllis that same week, and the three of us have been close friends ever since. Jackie was my dormitory roommate. Amazing we got along because I'm a morning person, and Jackie definitely was not. We were friends during those precious years. We shared the joy of falling in love and were married 4 days apart in 1955. I was maid of honor at Jackie's wedding, and I was the bride 4 days later. We three friends were together during those precious years of starting our families, finishing our education, beginning our careers, and playing a lot of bridge. Although living in different cities for many years, we three have always found time to be together and to be friends. Through Jackie, I became acquainted with Matilda, Ed, George, Aunt Ada, Auntie Bessie, and beloved Grandma Golden, and many members of Mike's family. Through all of them, I was introduced to the rich cultural history of their Ashkenazi and Sephardic heritage. Jackie was very intelligent, kind, caring, committed to her career in social work and liberal causes, and always ready to laugh. Her love of Mike was everlasting, and she showed such strength while caring for Mike during those last difficult times. John was the fulfillment of her dream of motherhood, and he was there for her when she needed him the most. I will never hear the New World Symphony without thinking of Grandma Golden and Jackie. I will always miss my friend and be ever grateful for her friendship.
Thank you, Nancy. And now we'll have cousin Jamie Pia read some of John's words and John's dedication to his mother.
My wonderful cousin Jamie offered to read this for me today. You should consider that my gift to everyone listening. I can't possibly tell you all I learned from my mother in a lifetime. I can tell you a little of what I saw this last year. I've always known that my mother was determined to help other people, more so than to help herself. Many of our conversations over the years began with a comment on how someone was in trouble, and then the inevitable question, how can we help? And of course, she chose a career as a social worker. This is who she was. But this desire to put others first has become even clearer as her own needs grew. Sometimes, it's become more annoying for her son, too. As it got harder for her to manage a house, I worked to hire a team of people to help. It wasn't long until those arrangements were more about helping others than helping my mother. One woman couldn't come on the day we really needed her. No problem. I said I'd find someone else. My mother would not stand for that. She said that this was a single mother and we were not going to reduce her income. If my mother had to rearrange her own life to fit her helper's schedule, that's just how it would be. This didn't change as her condition got worse. When my mother first met people from hospice, she wasn't that interested in their services, but she did have one concern. It's nice that hospice could help her, but why couldn't she call them to help one of her neighbors if a neighbor was in pain? Later, at a time when she barely had enough strength to walk from her apartment to the lobby of our building, she asked me to take her shopping. One of the young women who brought her dinners didn't have a warm winter coat, so my mother wanted to walk the stores to buy her one. There is another way my mother left me in awe this last month. She kept saying how lucky she was. This is not something I'd expect from a woman with cancer. Most of all, she knew she was lucky because she found the finest man who ever lived and married him. She was also lucky because of her son and her dog Pebbles, probably not in that order. She was lucky for her wonderful career as a social worker. She was lucky for all the beauty she saw in the world, from sunsets to symphonies. And she was lucky because of her incredible family. Some were family by blood, and others were family by choice. When it mattered most, her family was there for her. So to all of you who helped my mother, even though she really didn't want to be helped, I thank you. And to all of you who enriched her life and made her feel lucky to be alive, I thank you again.
Thank you, Jamie. I'd like to now call upon family friend Stacy Lawson to say a few words.
What sweetness we are here to honor and remember. I've been close friends with Jackie for well over 20 years, but have known Jackie all my life. My parents, Rita and Alan Lawson, of blessed memory, met Mike in high school and Jackie soon after they started dating. My sister Debbie was the first baby that Jackie ever held. Jackie told me a few weeks ago that when she met my mother, who was 7 years her senior, that she thought that my mom was a worldly older woman with three kids. Mike bequeathed me to Jackie upon his death. I don't know the legal arrangements, but this is what happened. I don't know if he thought that I was lost and needed her, or whether he thought that we'd be a good pair for each other. We discovered that we both liked books, news, politics, coffee, cookies, meaningful conversation, and sleeping in. 10 o'clock in the morning was a proper time to wake. With Mike, I went to Salute's for pizza and wine midweek and midday. With Jackie, I went for coffee or periodically had lunch at a corner table at Theo's at Third Place Books near her home, a place where John and Paul allowed her to drive when she was restricted. Reach out if you need anything. I'm here. Are you okay? Is anything going on? Let's talk. How about coffee? We had a very easy back and forth from politics to family, to John, to Steve, my husband, to my kids, to the state of public schools, news and books, back to John, and always back to John. We naturally opened our hearts to each other. We listened with care. We discussed and debated. Sometimes I came with the issues, and sometimes she did. John has noted that I probably willingly took more advice from his mother than he did, but I'm not entirely sure that's true. But so it goes. In the last few months, it has been my honor to be with Jackie and John as Jackie made her way from this world with incredible strength and dignity and love. Jackie's days were a mix of optimism and frustration. She wanted to get better, and she wanted to get back to life. She wanted to help people. She was frustrated that she wasn't improving. When she was in the hospital, she was always trying to tend to other patients. She was aware that she was not thinking clearly at times, and it upset her. I want my mind to work well. Through most of it, Jackie maintained grace far better than I would have. In the last month, she finally wisely gave up on MSNBC and the New York Times. It was after and around the election that I heard words that I never thought Jackie knew. It was painful, she said. It was very painful. She maintained her sense of purpose. What can we do? She maintained her sense of dignity, adventure, sense of humor up until her last week. John and I took her on field trips to see the sunset from different parks on the west side of Queen Anne. Make a U-turn, I'd say. Make another U-turn. Back up. And John, wanting to give his mother the very best view, did so. We went to coffee. We went to a park to watch kids play. We stopped at another park to watch more kids play. She would always ask John about the kids, invite the kids to come over. I'd like to see the kids. After one of her drives, she said to John, "When I got home from the last trip, I cried. There is such beauty in the world." Jackie did not get lost, even in her last days, in her own suffering and pain. She was always aware of John, her beloved pebbles, the world. She was aware of our company as we sat watch with her. She repeatedly told John that she loved him. Family, friends, Aegis staff who became friends repeatedly told her that John would be fine. We knew that that was Jackie's primary concern. We told her that family and many friends would hold him and give him support always. To the end, Jackie was a mother. I have now taken John on as the brother that I never had. I think my sisters are here. Yes, there's another one. Being older, I will be the older sister, finally. I am the younger of four, at the youngest of four, present moment, and now I have one beneath me. I'm going to end with a passage from Claire Dane from an interview in the New Yorker that just came to me as I was reading yesterday that explains how I think Jackie lived. I think the more whole you are as a person, the more integrated, the deeper you can go into scary territory. It's just amazing we have a means of doing that safely. What better is there? It's so cool to get that much more of an understanding of what it is to be a person. Jackie knew what it was to be a person. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. And our final speaker is a close friend, Rabbi Rachel Nussbaum, speaking about Jackie.
Thank you, Nancy, for bringing us Phyllis's words and your own, and Jamie for reading John's words for us, and Stacy for sharing yours. You've all heard that Jackie was a lover of children. I, too, am a lover of children and of children's literature, and I was reading this week an Isaac Bashevis Singer book, and I wanted to share with you a few words out of the foreword as I begin this eulogy. Now, I know that we are in the Sephardic cemetery, and this is out of the Ashkenazic tradition, but that was Jackie as well, crossover between worlds. So Isaac Bashevis Singer writes in his foreword to the book Zlata the Goat and Other Stories, "Children are as puzzled by passing time as grown-ups. What happens to a day once it is gone? Where are all our yesterdays with their joys and sorrows? Literature helps us remember the past with its many moods. To the storyteller, yesterday is still here, as are the years and the decades gone by. In stories, time does not vanish, neither do men nor animals. For the writer and his readers, all creatures go on living forever. What happened long ago is still present. It is in this spirit that I wrote these tales. So it's in that spirit as well that I want to share with you some stories from Jackie's lifetime, in the spirit that by sharing these stories, the stories will continue to live in us and with us and change who we are, the people that we are, and by knowing Jackie more fully, all of us will be better people in light of her stories. Jackie Piha was born Jacqueline Berkman on September 21st, 1935. She was the first child of Ed and Matilda Berkman in Seattle, and she grew up back and forth between Seattle and Bremerton. Throughout her childhood, she was especially close with her mother's parents, Esther and Noah Golden, who had come to this country from Russia, as well as with her younger brother, George Berkman, who passed away just about 2 years ago. She grew up at Herzl and attended Roosevelt High School. You've already heard that Jackie enrolled at the University of Washington as a young woman, and it's there that she met Nancy and Phyllis, who became lifelong friends. It was a short stint, however, as she dropped out to get married to Mike Piha. The two of them had known each other since Jackie was a child. John told me the story the other day. She had been friends with Mike's younger brother, and Mike, who was 7 years older, would be the old guy chaperoning birthday parties for the kids. At 7 years older, that gap felt tremendous as children, but when he returned from the army and found her all grown up, it mattered much less to them. So the scandalous part of their relationship was not the age gap, but rather the fact that she was Ashkenazic and he was Sephardic. Over time, though, Jackie became completely absorbed in Mike's Sephardic family and customs. She developed a great love of Sephardic food, berekas, pasteles. When Renee would make, can I even say it, akolamono, for breakfast, Jackie was the one who wanted to take home the leftovers. John recalls that during his childhood, he never once heard his parents fight over money. And yet Mike would tease her, because in her generosity, Jackie always wanted to spend more on fancy gifts for other people than she would ever consider spending on herself. You've already heard that Jackie was completely in love with Mike, and that never ended, despite the fact that Mike passed away almost 23 years ago in 1994. Their love affair was mutual. In an incredible act of foresight, in the weeks and months before Mike passed away, he called up a whole bunch of people to make arrangements for them to look after Jackie once he was gone. He instructed Jackie's former boss to call her up 6 months out and invite her back to work. He asked the car mechanic to look out for her and be sure that she was bringing the car in regularly for service. All of these things were supposed to be kept secret, of course, but over the course of the next decade and two decades, the secrets started to leak out, and Jackie took great pride in knowing just how much Mike had tried to look out for her and protect her even in his absence. During these last two decades, Jackie could never bring herself to date anyone else, although several men tried. I heard several stories the other day of would-be suitors trying to ask her out on a date. None of these stories go anywhere. Jackie simply could not. Mike was the love of her life, the one and only, and no one else could ever live up in her eyes. Despite the fact that Jackie said she wasn't the most religious person, she would never miss the opportunity to show up on a holiday to say Yizkor for Mike. Moving back in time, I already mentioned that it was because of Mike that Jackie had dropped out of college on her first try. The second time was the charm. When John was in elementary school, He recalls, Jackie went back to college at the University of Washington, earning first a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree in social work. In John's words, he said, I think she was born a social worker, and the degree just came later. It was who she was. Jackie possessed a deep desire to help other people, especially children. As you heard, she worked in a variety of settings at Neighborhood House and also at other Head Start programs. Her specialty was working with children who came from homes with serious problems, abuse, medical challenges, needing support to find the right resources. Jackie was a mentor and a fierce advocate for these kids. She loved them all. There wasn't a kid she didn't like. She especially had the habit of picking up kids who just didn't fit in where they were and making them her own. In doing this, I have to say, Jackie was really living in God's image. In the Torah portion that we will read this Shabbat, we find ourselves, the Israelites, in Egypt. And it's a very famous passage, one that's the basis, in a sense, of our whole telling of the Passover story in the Haggadah at Pesach. God famously speaks to Moses and says, V'gam ani shamati et nakat b'nei Yisrael. Moreover, I have heard, I have listened to the groaning of the children of Israel. And then there are four verbs, V'hotzeiti, v'hitzelti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. I will bring you out, I will deliver you, I will redeem you. I will take you unto me as my people. These famous verses become, in essence, the basis for the Haggadah, the four verbs of redemption for the four questions, four children, four cups of wine that we drink at the Seder. Jackie, the intuitive, natural social worker, did in her lifetime exactly what God did in redeeming the people of Israel. It's really interesting. The first verb was to listen, and then there were four verbs of doing. So that's what she did. She listened to people's stories, and then she would spring into action and help and soothe and problem solve and ultimately take people to be her own without even knowing it. In her giving, generous, helping role as social worker, she was truly embodying the divine spirit in the world and acting as a force for redemption in so many people's lives. Of course, John recalls that as a teen, sometimes her social work was annoying. And he would pull books off the shelf and quote back to her whenever she failed as a parent to do what the authors in her field might advise. That said, Jackie's love for John was even more intense than her love for all other children in the world. John, she was so proud of you and loved you so completely. As a human being, what was she like? From Renee, she was generous, kind, loving, and easy to talk to. She would talk about anything, family life to world affairs. She loved books, and she was a voracious reader, fiction, nonfiction, just about anything she could get her hands on. She simply loved to learn. Despite the fact that she was an introvert, the house was always filled with people. She loved entertaining and playing mahjong and bridge and collecting friends. Jackie was politically engaged in a way that I think was probably unusual for a woman of her generation. The first campaign that she worked on was Adlai Stevenson's back in the 50s. And from that point on, in almost every election cycle, you could find her reading the news and engaging politically, whether that meant stuffing envelopes and making calls on behalf of Carter, or flying to Nevada with John to work on the Clinton campaign. Many of her most prized possessions were political items: a letter from Hubert Humphrey, a photo of Michelle and Barack Obama. Even recently, if you visited Jackie, MSNBC would be on the television and the New York Times would be open on the ottoman. This year, as Stacy mentioned, was hard for her. She was not happy about the election. And in particular, because of John's work on the Clinton campaign and her close identification with you, John. She was incredibly tender and wanting to take care of you, not only out of political ideology, but also out of incredible compassion and love. As you have heard, family and close friends were so central to Jackie, and this manifests in a variety of ways. She loved having the kids, all the grandnieces and nephews, come by to visit. And together with John, Jackie took each of these grandnieces and nephews to Las Vegas for a casino pilgrimage upon reaching the ripe old age of 21. Friends were lifelong friends. She never stopped mourning for Mike, the love of her life. The loss of Jackie Piha will be felt so acutely and by so very many people. John, this Shabbat, we will read a special Haftarah in honor of the fact that this Shabbat is also Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of a new month, the month of Shvat. And in it, Isaiah conveys God's words to the Israelites, and there is a line that jumped out at me as particularly relevant today. Ki'ish asher imo tenachamenu, ken anochi anachamchem. As a mother comforts her son, so will I bring comfort to you. That's God's promise. As Jackie would have comforted you if she were here, as she would have surrounded you and all of us with her incredible embrace, so too may we all be comforted by one another and by God at this time of loss. Tehi nishmata tzurura v'tzura chayim. May your mother, Jackie Piha, our friend, our relative, Jackie Piha, be forever bound up in the bonds of life, and may her memory sustain us and be a source of great blessing to us all. Amen.